Are you blessed tonight by the word? Amen. Hallelujah. It's always a joy when you are preaching to somebody who is eager, they're hungry, they're excited about God's word. Very easy to preach to them. Amen. Hallelujah. But if someone is very dull of hearing, boom, you just want to walk away. But tonight, I believe that you are hungry, you are thirsty, hallelujah, you are excited about God's word, and you want to see Jesus manifested in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Tonight, I want you to open your Bibles to the 8th chapter of John. The 8th chapter of John. And verses 31 and verse 32. John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 31 and 32.
Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Amen. Then Jesus said to the Jews which believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Open your mouth and say, "Continue." Amen. The difference between mediocrity and success or excellence is that people who are who walk in excellence continue. People who finish well are people who have not only begun a race, but who continue running. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to allow the Holy Spirit to breathe into you, to make it a revelation for you, the word continue. So open your mouth and say continue. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed." The revelation or the evidence that you are a disciple of Jesus is that you continue in the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. There are people who love God's word in the beginning of their race. There are people who meditate on scriptures when they step out for God. There are people who will have all kinds of study Bibles and all kinds of memorization tapes that they listen to meditate on God's word in the beginning of their walk. But somewhere down the line, they deviate from God's word. They get distracted from God's word. But the mark of a disciple of Jesus is that you continue in the word of the living God. Amen. As much as you would love Jesus, so much you would love the word of God. If you love Jesus much, you will love to read the love letter that is written to you in God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Hallelujah. That is why you should never get dull of hearing. You should never harden your heart against God's word. You should never, you know, take it lightly, the word of God. But you should honor God's word. You should carry it with pride. You should say, "I am a man or a woman who believes in God's word. I will follow God's word. I will meditate on God's word. I will speak God's word. I am not ashamed of the living word of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth." Tonight, put your hands together and bless the name of Jesus one more time. Hallelujah. Amen. You continue in God's word. I want people who come to this church to come with your Bibles. People who come to this church, even when you go to your workplaces, carry your Bible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Carry the word of God with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let two people know that you are not a secret disciple, but you are a public disciple of Jesus Christ, not ashamed of God's word. Hallelujah. Carry the Bible on the street. Keep it in a place where people can see it. Amen. Time and again, open the word of God and read it. Speak the word of God to everyone whom you meet. Hallelujah. I'm not saying criticize them or judge them or, you know, press the word of God down their neck. No, no. What I'm saying is in love, in grace, with a deep love for Jesus Christ, the word that you meditated upon, God will send somebody across your life that very day to speak that word unto them. The word of God is not just on a Friday or on a Sunday or a one meal. It's just not on a one particular day in the week. It is 24/7. It is every day of the week. It is for the rest of your life till Jesus Christ comes back again. The word of God will encourage you. The word of God will heal you. The word of God has got the power to set you free. It's got the power to deliver you. It's got the power to remedy your eyesight and give you a clearer vision of God's presence and His glory. Hallelujah. Ah, praise the Lord. Amen. John 15, verse 9. John 15, verse 9. Somebody shout out John 15, verse 9. Yes.
As the Father loved me,
as the Father loves me,
I also have loved you.
I have also loved you.
Abide in my love.
Use the King James Version. Continue in my love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Therefore, Jesus is saying, continue in my love. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you had experience of your life? Don't raise your hands that you loved somebody and they rejected you and walked off. Don't raise your hands. Hallelujah. Well, God is saying, don't walk off like that. God is saying, see, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Are you with me? So don't walk away from me. Continue in my love. Amen. What's the evidence that God loves you? Is it when your house is built, your marriage is fixed, or financial breakthrough comes into your life, or you're healed in your body? What's the evidence that God loves you? Is it a nice, warm feeling that you feel certain days when you're praying? What is the evidence that God loves you? The evidence that God loves you was revealed 2,000 years ago when God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have life everlasting. God so loved the world. Hallelujah! The evidence was given to you. So don't allow the devil to deceive you. Don't allow the devil to make you believe that God loves everybody else but not me. The evidence is on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. Jesus shed His blood for you. He demonstrated the love. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and say, God is a good God. If you don't take anything out of this message, remember this word in your heart always. For some of you, you might find it hard to believe, but that's the truth. God is a good God. Amen. Years back, Oral Roberts used to preach, and he used to say, God is a good God. There is no bad in God. And there is no good in the devil. God is totally good. Devil is totally bad. God is good. The devil is bad. God doesn't do evil. There is no evidence in the scripture that God is not a good God. You show me one passage of scripture in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, where somebody came to Jesus and Jesus said, I can't do anything for you. Too bad. If somebody came with faith, somebody came with a heart of expectancy, you will know not a single portion of scripture in the New Testament will you find Jesus saying, I can't do that for you. He didn't say, it is too hard for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But there are so many believers who secretly and later on publicly, who don't believe that God is a good God. That God loves them. You remember in the Garden of Eden, before Eve could be made to sin by the devil reasoned with Eve. In Genesis 3 and verse 1, has God said not to eat of any tree? She made her doubt the goodness of God. And she entered into a conversation with the devil, and the devil said, see, if you eat of the tree that God has said is forbidden, you will become like him. He's withholding something nice from you. See, the devil, before he challenges any believer to sin, would have convinced the believer in the mind that God does not love or God is not wanting the good of that person. Are you with me? Amen. You would have to doubt whether God is good first. Two sins in the Bible, which you find in most of the churches and ministries and among people, is that in the world too. One is selfish ambition, and the other is envy. And both comes because of a thought that comes, God is good to somebody else, but not to me. So I envy that person. God is using that person. I'm pretty bad. God hasn't used me. God hasn't won me. God has got nothing, no plans for me. God has got something for the other person. So you have this envy or this ambition in your heart. I should achieve. I should have a competitive spirit where I should have a drive to achieve or become something by my own strength and prove to somebody that I'm successful without God doing it. That is Genesis, the fourth chapter. Cain and Abel. Both brought offerings before God. God was pleased with the offering of Abel. God was not pleased with the offering of Cain. God told Cain, listen man, you do good, I will accept you. But Cain began to envy his brother. Are you with me? Amen. It all happens when you doubt God's goodness over your life. That is why the Bible says, continue in the love of God. Continue in the Father's love. Continue in the love of Jesus Christ for your life. God is totally good for you. Come on, church. Lift your hand and say, God is good to me. Hallelujah. Some of you need to say, Lord, help me to believe that. See, in the New Testament, the disciples never had a doubt. No matter what happened in their lives, that was going to work out for the good of them. That is why you put a Paul and a Silas into a jail. They didn't sit there and say, hey, if God is good, man. God, I don't think God loves me. I stepped out for God. Now look where I've ended up. I'm in this prison. Oh, gosh, I think my life is going to go. I should never have followed the Holy Spirit. I should have never listened to the voice of God. I should have never have stepped out for Jesus Christ. It was a stupid mistake. Look where it has landed me. They never, ever said that. But even in that prison, even though they could not understand with their head, in their heart, they were very clear about one thing. Everything that happens in their life happens for the good. That God has got a plan for them. God is able to bring them through. That there is no bad in God. He is totally good. That Jesus Christ is Lord. They continued by worshiping the Lord in their prison. And the prison doors opened. The chains fell apart. And the glory of God was revealed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you with me? Continue in the love of the Father and the Son. Continue. No matter what you're going through, whether your prayers are answered or not, whether your sickness is healed or not, whatever you're challenged with, whatever has happened in your life, no matter how terrible it is, believe in the bottom of your heart, not on what I say, but on what on God's word says, that He's totally good. Amen. and worship Him. Hallelujah. He will turn it around for the good. Everything that happens in your life, He will turn it around for the good as you continue to worship Him and look to His holy face. That's how you continue in the love of God. Imagine five beggars sitting on the road. Muthulakshmi Pandian. And three more names. Suddenly a millionaire comes that way. Somebody from the cornerstone. Multi-millionaire. Nobody is saying amen, huh? You don't believe God will prosper you. You come that way, and because you know the scriptures and you know the love of God, you want to share it with those beggars. You say, okay, listen guys, you see that bank over there? I'm going to start 5 accounts for you. 5 of you, I'm going to start 5 accounts. Muthulakshmi, Pandian, and all the rest of you three, I'm going to start 5 accounts for you. I'm going to put there 1 crore rupees for each one of you. So whenever you want, you can go take the money. And that man walks off. These beggars sitting there, they say, Chuma varanyan. He will beg all through his life. Are you with me? He'll be hungry because he doesn't believe. He just doesn't believe. What more can that millionaire do? Other than say it and put the money in the account. Pandian is sitting there for some time. He says, finally, I'll just go check out. He goes there, writes a check just for the fun, the largest amount that he can think of. Okay, 10 lakh. I've never seen 10 lakh rupees. 10 lakh. The cashier gives him the money. Muthulakshmi goes there and says, maybe he might have put some. So I will only take 2,000. Maybe he's put something there. So I'll just go ask for 2,000. She asked for 2,000. She cashes the check for 2,000 is gone. She had little faith for little amount. The other person had larger faith for a larger amount. The rest of the three are still begging out there. The same is true among believers in the church. God says, I've loved you all with an everlasting love. Though the mountains depart and the hills be removed, my everlasting love for you shall not depart from you. Even if a mother should forsake a child, yet I will never forsake you. I've carved you on the palm of my hand. Even though your sins are as red as scarlet, I will make you whiter than snow. Hallelujah. He's given you those promises. But some of you are still begging. Some of you are still begging. Some of you on certain days when you pray, you will say, I'll go cash 2,000. Lord, enough grace just to get through today. If I can read one chapter of the Bible and not sin for today, thank you, Lord. And you get it for that day. Next day, you are back in the same street with the same begging bowl, sitting there, hungry, tired, miserable, looking out at others go by. But praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus Christ. God's word is so true. Hallelujah. Amen. He's loved you with an everlasting love. Praise the Lord. Lift your hand and say, Lord, help me to believe in your word. Some of you need to have that as a revelation in your heart. Praise the Lord. You're just not a good message, but a revelation in your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. The people in the book of Daniel, the 11th chapter, verse 32, it says, the people who know their God will do great exploits. What do you know about God? That He is good. Are you with me? Acts 10, verse 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all who were sick, setting the captives free. He went about doing good. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Not people who know about it, people who know it, who have this revelation in their heart, will do great exploits. There are people who are serving Jesus today, not because they are perfect, because they go every morning and cash the check. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Are you with me? Amen. Not He will in heaven. I would be happy if He says, Son, somehow get through this life. Just hold on to me. And when you get to heaven, I've laid up a lot of goodies for you. No. That itself would satisfy me. Are you with me? If I know that in heaven I can have something from the Lord, that itself is that's enough to make me walk with Jesus today. But Ephesians 1 uses the word, He's already blessed us. Are you with me? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, lift your hand and say, Lord, help me to understand. Hallelujah. Help me to understand. Hallelujah. Amen. He's already blessed us. He's already blessed us. See, in the scriptures you will find this word, that we are the Lord's inheritance. Can you imagine that? A sinful, terrible person. Some of you will say this pastor is a terrible person. Okay. A terrible person like me is actually the inheritance of the Lord. You find it hard to believe, don't you? My God, how can God use that man? I'm the inheritance of the Lord because of the blood of Jesus, because of the amazing grace of God, because of His goodness and mercy, because of His everlasting love. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now that's the same thing that He says about you. But you won't believe it. You know, Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 18, he said, Lord, enlighten their eyes. Because there was no way Paul could make them understand. So he said, Lord, please enlighten their eyes that they might know the hope of their calling and the inheritance that they have among the saints. Present tense. The inheritance that you have now among the saints. Enlighten them, Lord. Oh, come on, church. Tonight, if you don't get enlightened by anything else but have this wonderful revelation of the Holy Ghost in your hearts, that you are indeed the inheritance of God, hallelujah. He stirred up goodness for you. He's a good God, hallelujah. He will have no evil plan about your life. The plan is God is for your future with prosperity, blessing, and hope. Hallelujah. Continue in the love of God. Hallelujah. Open your mouth and say, continue in the love of God. Amen. Acts 13 verse 43. Acts 13 verse 43.
Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God.
To continue in the grace of? Continue in the? John. Continue in the grace of God. Continue in the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some people, you know they are saved by grace, but then they try to live their Christian life by their own ability. The Bible says God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Continue in the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Grace always flows to your heart. Most people are trying to figure everything else in their life. They don't want to, you know, they got enough and more battles that they are facing in their life, challenges. They want an answer for everything up here. You know, the devil to make Eve sin had to appeal here. had to get into that position of reason. Now, does that mean faith is unreasonable? No. Does that mean you can't use your reason? No. It is like faith, which gives you the grace of God into your life, is in a higher plane than reason. For example, imagine you have two kids. One of them is studying in the second standard. He's got his maths textbook in front of him. He's studying 2 plus 2. Do you study that in second class? Okay, first standard. 1 plus 1, 2, 2 plus 2, 4. He's studying that. His elder brother is 10th standard. He's got this big maths book in front of him. Very complicated stuff. This poor boy, with his head, he goes and looks at him and says, "My gosh, this is too confusing, man. I don't understand this. This is all wrong. This is all wrong." Why? Because that 10th standard book is in a higher level than the second standard book. So reason is in a lower level, and faith, which gives you the grace into your heart, is in a higher level. That is why the more you walk with Jesus Christ and experience His grace by faith in your life, you will begin to understand everything. Hey, God's, according to God's word, you will say, "I understand this. I could never figure it out, but I understand it now." The more you walk with Jesus. I met a man who's walked with the Lord for 44 years. He told me, "Son, in the beginning I used to try to figure everything with my head. I used to get all confused. Then I began to trust in the grace of God and believe His word for what His word says. And I brought my heart into the picture." So he says, "It was easy. I was at peace. I was at rest inside. And I saw God work." And as 44 years have passed me walking with Jesus, he said, "Now when I look back, I understand all that I was confused about before. It was in such a lower level. I couldn't..." You understand that? How many of you understood what I just said? Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him as Lord, and He will direct your path." So trust the Lord with all your heart and not on your own understanding. Praise God. Tonight, you need to take a decision to say, "Lord, my heart is open before You. I trust You at Your word. Let Your grace flow into my life." Hallelujah. "I can't figure everything out. I don't understand many things, but I trust You for what You say in Your word, and You will find the power of God revealed in your life." Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you still here tonight? Are you still here tonight? Are you enjoying the word of God? Are you tired? No. Acts 14:22.
"Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith."
Say, "Continue in." Say, "Continue in." Continue in faith. Continue in faith. It would be the most foolish decision if you step out by faith and then one day you get all so smart that you want to figure everything else out now in your life. You look at circumstance, situation. You step out by faith. You stay in faith. You continue in faith. And you finish in faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Continue in faith. The safest place for a child of God, revealed as revealed in the Bible, is the will of God. In John 6 and verse 38, Jesus said, "I have come not to do my will, but to do the will of the Father who sent me." Are you with me? That is faith. That is trust. See, when you take matters in your own hands, and when you think, okay, God's will might not be perfect, you know, I don't think God has got the better plan, I think I got the better plan. I don't think God knows, so I think I better sort out things for Him, because otherwise I might get a very small blessing and somebody else goes up with a big blessing. The safest place is that place of submission where you say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. That needs faith. That needs trust. Whether it be concerning your future, concerning your finance, concerning your marriage, concerning the number of children that you should have, concerning your ministry, concerning your calling, let it be in that position of the will of God where you trust Jesus deep inside your heart. Continue in faith. Look at somebody and say, continue in faith. Continue in faith. Hallelujah. Say that again. Continue. 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 Continue in faith. Continue in faith. Sometimes you meet people on the street, you know, and they say, yeah, once upon a time I was also a believer. They're saying with much pride, you know. They should be saying it with shame. And the believer will also, and what happened? Oh gosh, I have to graduate like you once upon a time, huh? Oh my God. And why you left? Oh, the pastor, you know, he was not that good. That believer that spoke bad of me, that man, that woman in the church, you know, that Asher, they are all very bad. You know, they are all not the nice people. You don't know them, I know them. Oh, okay. And suddenly they graduate to another level. And they also have a story, once upon a time. But may the Holy Spirit of God have mercy on you tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Are there believers today in Jesus Christ? Is your faith still warm? Is your faith still in the fire of the Holy Ghost? Lift your hands and give a big shout to Jesus and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes people, and I've seen people, you know, that sometimes people never listen to you when you preach the word of God from the pulpit. But they would listen to some backslider somewhere or a worldly person somewhere. And they're using that as a scale to measure their walk with Jesus or the church or the walk with God. I mean, what is the truth? Which is the real thing? Praise the Lord. Let not the devil deceive you with unbelief. Because unbelief, you know, we don't have time. 7 things about unbelief. 1, it hardens your heart. 1, it makes your life go dark. It puts you in the wilderness. It keeps you falling short of what God has promised you. The dangers of unbelief. Look at the next verse. Colossians chapter 4 verse 2. Colossians 4 verse 2.
Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving.
Continue. I like, you know, the real translation uses the word continue earnestly in prayer. Did you find that in your Bible? The Colossian church was, you know, people say that the Laodicean church in the book of Revelation, the lukewarm church, was in that same place. So you know the lukewarm church? The lukewarm church is the church that has given the impression that they belong to Jesus, but their hearts are not on fire for God. They're lukewarm. They're neither hot nor cold. They are just there. So Paul is writing to this church and he says, See, when you are lukewarm, you pray. You pray like, Lord, bless me. No accident should happen on the way. My kids should all be safe. My husband should come back on time. Oh Lord, yes, Psalm 91, Psalm 121, Psalm 23. Boom. So, Paul is writing and saying, listen, don't pray like that. Continue earnestly. In other words, the seriousness is there. The heart is involved. A genuineness is there. Not the superficial thing. Okay, how great thou art. Then the rest of it, the seedy place. You're just sitting there. And the last line you say, how great thou art. Hillsong is singing the rest of the song. You got the tape. Then you read Psalm 91. Psalm 91, you start loudly. Whoever goes to the Lord will say, oh my God, in your trust in you. Amen. Better say the rosary than that. Are you still with me tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Continue earnestly in prayer. Are you with me? Continue earnestly in prayer. Somebody said, Vassar, that word doesn't apply to me. Why? Because I never started praying. Every man of God, every woman of God, I tell them to pray. I never prayed in my life. I like listening to music and singing songs and all that. So I tell everybody else to pray. I don't pray. So what is the point of me continuing? I never started to continue. Tonight. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, continue earnestly in prayer to Jesus, not to Mary, okay? The other thing was a joke. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15.
Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing.
Yes.
If they continue in faith and charity.
The woman, she shall be saved in childbearing.
If they continue in faith and charity.
In charity, in love.
And holiness.
Holiness.
With sobriety.
With self-control. Amen. Don't say all those tough English words. I can't pronounce it. Then five people will say after the meeting, Pastor, that is not how you pronounce it. As long as you continue in faith, in love, in holiness, and self-control. So easy. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Continue. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Samuel 12 verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 12 verse 14.
If he shall fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both he and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God.
Yeah, continue following the Lord your God. Open your mouth and say, continue following the Lord your God. Continue following the Lord your God. Luke chapter 22, verse 62. It speaks about Peter, and the Bible says that Peter followed Jesus at a distance. Peter followed Jesus at a distance. Is that how you continue following the Lord? No. But in the book of Joshua, the 14th chapter, you will find the Bible speaking about Joshua and Caleb. Especially about Caleb, it says there, Caleb followed the Lord with his whole heart. He followed the Lord with his whole heart. Continue following the Lord your God. Continue following after Jesus Christ. I always say as a joke, you know, the younger son, the one who left the father's house, he came back, he decided to come back to the father's house because he was hungry. But somewhere in that point, he came to his senses where he had a revelation of the love of God, the Father. The heart of the Father. And I've realized, pastoring over years, I've seen people walk into this church or anywhere that I go to preach, you know, I've seen people come. Some come for healing, some come for a deliverance, a blessing, someone to know the call of God in their lives or ministry, someone their position. You know, some just want to find the right marriage partner. Some just come because they feel nice here. Some come for security. All that is okay. But there should come a point in your life where Jesus, the Son of God, the only way of our salvation, the only mediator between God and man, becomes your passion, becomes your love, becomes your focus, becomes the delight of your heart, where you take a decision in your heart saying, Lord, nothing else matters more than following you unto death. I want to be with you. I want to walk with you. I want to continuously follow after Jesus, because Jesus, you are my Lord. Follow Jesus in good times. Follow Jesus in bad times. Follow Jesus when you are in the mountain. Follow Jesus when you are in the valley. Follow Jesus in the darkness. Follow Jesus in the light. Follow Jesus Christ in your pain. Don't get into religion. Continuously follow after Jesus Christ. Your faith, your ministry, the call of God on your life, all those are kind of servants to the real thing that is Jesus. Some people stop following Jesus when God grants them their prayer. They are blessed. No, they don't want Jesus now. You know, when the disciples were crossing over, the Bible says Jesus was in the boat with them and Jesus was sleeping. You remember that? What is amazing is that the Bible says Jesus was sleeping on a pillow. And we know that Jesus was never carrying pillow. So I believe when they got on the boat, the disciples got a pillow for Jesus and said, let him sleep. Huh? Now we don't need him. We know. We are fishermen. We know how to go across here. The tough part of the day is over. We have been in the sea for such a long time. We know how to row the boat. We know how to get to the other side. We don't want Jesus standing there and telling us what to do. So let him just go to sleep. Put the pillow nicely and go to sleep. Some people are like that. When the tough day is over, when they get into a comfort zone or a familiar zone where they know how to find their way, they forget Jesus. They put him to sleep. And time and again, the love of God will allow the waves to roar, the storm to come, and the shaking to happen, whereby you will get up and say, Jesus, get up, please. We need you to take charge. Once a pastor told me, son, if there are troublemakers in your church, just give them ministry and send them somewhere. Because they are not after Jesus. ministry is serving Jesus. Imagine the rapture takes place and I'm saying, Lord, not now, I'm busy preaching. Friday service. Continuously follow after Jesus. Follow after Jesus with your whole heart. Acts 7, Stephen, the man of God, he's always inspired me in the scripture. Even at the point of death, when they took stones to throw at him, the Bible says in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, he looked up, he saw heaven open, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. Even at death, he looked up and he saw Jesus. Can you imagine that? Some people, even at death, they won't look up. See, he followed Jesus. Some people don't want Jesus in their death. I've seen that very painfully. Sometimes you want to tell people, would you like to accept Jesus? You go to hospitals to pray and the doctor says their time is over, they're going to go. And you're trying to lead them in a prayer of salvation. And they're holding on to the, either a rosary or chanting a prayer. And you don't know what to do. I said, Lord, because their salvation, their eternity. Even at death, they won't look up. Stephen, even at his death, he looked up. He saw Jesus at the right hand of God the Father. He didn't see a light coming in. You know, some people say, oh, I just saw a light and soft music and then the flowers were going in like this and then. My God, flowers you can see anywhere. But close your eyes and see Jesus. Some people say it has soft music. See, all that is nice. But do you see Jesus? When I am at the point of death, I want to so follow Jesus that I want to see Him. I want to hear His voice, not some soft music saying, well done, good and faithful servant, come into thy rest and be with me. I want to hear those words and not some soft music and some light somewhere far away. Follow after Jesus. Why Stephen could see Jesus at that time? Stephen, one word you can describe him. He was a man who was full. Full. Acts 6 verse 5. Acts chapter 6 verse 5.
And the same pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit.
A man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Open your mouth and say, man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Read the 8th verse, 6, 8.
And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great.
And Stephen, full of, another version says, grace and power. Look at what he's full of. Was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Now here, full of grace and power. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What are you full of today? Full of bitterness and unforgiveness and hatred and envy and unbelief. Look at Stephen, a man full of faith, full of power, full of the Holy Ghost, full of grace. Acts chapter 7, the message that Stephen preached from verse 1 to verse 53. Stephen is preaching. Even the Sermon on the Mount is not that long. Peter's message on Pentecost is not that long. Stephen atte message preachedullu shaktamayitte. The longest message eduthu prasangichu. Right from Abraham he's starting in the message and revealing Jesus in the message, which means he was full of God's word. He was full of God's word. After he preached the message, I like the response. Verse 56. Seventh chapter, verse 56.
And said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God."
Yes, next verse.
Then they cried out with a loud voice.
See, an altar call is happening there. You would think they're crying with repentance. They cried out.
Then they cried out with a loud voice.
With a loud voice.
And stopped their ears. And ran upon him.
Altar call. Odi vannu.
And ran upon him with one accord. And cast him out of the city.
Cast him. Valichu pokki eduthu porathirinju. See, imagine a preacher preaching from his heart. Nannaan vendi prasangikkuva. എങ്ങനെയെങ്കിലും യേശുവിനെ കാണാൻ വേണ്ടി പ്രസംഗിക്കുക. മെസ്സേജ് മൊത്തം കേട്ടിട്ട് അവൻ ഓൾട്ടർ കോൾ വരുന്നില്ല, ചെവി പൊത്തി. 52nd, 51st verse says they gnashed their teeth, പല്ലു മുറുകെ കടിച്ച് ചെവി പൊത്തി കരഞ്ഞു. അതുവരെ ഒച്ചുണ്ടാക്കാത്തവനാ. ചിലർ പള്ളി വന്ന് ഒരു ഒച്ച ഉണ്ടാക്കിയല്ല, ആരാധിക്കുകയല്ല, കൈപോക്കിയല്ല, പ്രസംഗം കേൾക്കിയല്ല, ഒന്നും ചെയ്യല. അവസാനം എവിടെയെങ്കിലും പാസ്റ്റർ എന്തെങ്കിലും തെറ്റായിട്ട് വല്ലതും പറയോ, അല്ലെങ്കിൽ ഇൻസെൻസിറ്റീവ് ആയിട്ട് പറഞ്ഞു തോന്നിയാ അപ്പൊ സ്വരം ഉണ്ടാക്കി പുറത്തിറങ്ങും. ഒരു 10 പേരത്ത് പറയും, വന്നാലും പാസ്റ്റർ അങ്ങനെ പറഞ്ഞു തുടങ്ങി. പക്ഷെ അങ്ങനെ പറയല്ലായിരുന്നു, വേറെ ഒന്നും കേട്ടില്ല പുള്ളിക്കാരനെന്ന്. യേശുവിനെയും കണ്ടില്ല, കൃപയും മനസ്സിലാക്കിയില്ല, വിശ്വാസവും അറിഞ്ഞില്ല, സ്നേഹവും ദൈവസ്നേഹവും അനുഭവിച്ചില്ല, ഒന്നും അറിഞ്ഞില്ല. ഏതിനൊരു വാക്കെ പിടിച്ചിട്ട് പല്ലും കടിച്ചാ മുറുക അഞ്ഞി ഇങ്ങോട്ട് വരുന്ന പരിപാടി. ടാറ്റാ. You know what Stephen was full of? He was full of courage. Athrom vero atte adikku edirthappo thane paranju. No, full of courage. Prasanga maatiyilla. Ayyo sorry kottu ninku vedanipichu poya. Ayyo ayyo. He's full of courage. He stood by what God had said. He's full of courage. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want the church people here full of courage to stand up for Jesus Christ. Amen. Stephen knelt down when they threw stones at him. And the 7th chapter last verse says, he said, "Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit." And you know what he did? He said, "Lord, hold not the sin against them, but forgive them." Which means he was full of love. He could have stood there, he could have knelt down and he said, "Kartave kallernavanokka mudipichu kalayane avanokka tagarakkane avar ariyana oru abhishekthaneya thotta enna ariyadam." Innatha prarthanakar angane varunu, "Kartave abhishekthaneya kallernjeyanavanokka arinju mudinju pone." Praise the Lord. This man Stephen was full of love. He knelt down there and said, "Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. Hold not this against them." See, if you want to continuously follow after Jesus to the end, and in the end see Jesus in glory, be full of faith, be full of the Holy Ghost, be full of grace, be full of the power of God, be full of courage, be full of courage and full of love to forgive everyone that hurts you. To continuously follow after Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tonight, let's close our eyes in prayer.